Amen. Hallelujah. Transformation of the heart. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. And as we all know in this house, new life begins in the heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Y'all prepared to hear the word? Once again, it's my very great pleasure to introduce my very good friend and my pastor, Stan.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God always does everything slow and deliberate.
Right.
We, on the other hand, want everything done quick with no deliberation. The biggest thing we need to understand always in life is that when you've done all you can do to stand, you stand.
Yes.
Two things you must not forget. You've got to do all you can do in a stand. And then when you run to the end of it, it's not the end. It's the beginning of the stand.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
We walk and we stand, and when we hit that brick wall, we just stand. If you know God as I know God, He never fails.
That's right.
If He's ever failed you, you don't know Him correctly.
Right.
Or you don't know the God that I know. And you need to meet the God that I know, because I don't want to know the God that you know if He's a failure.
Amen.
Now that wasn't a very strong amen, was it? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we stand in the midst of your miracles, in the voices we've heard this morning, in the testimonies and the voices, in the testimonies and the words that we've read, some comical, some very, very serious. They all come from you. And we thank you for them. We thank you for every footstep we've taken in our life, because we know they were ordered by you. Even when they didn't feel like you, they were you. And they were leading us in the direction of you for your purposes, for your kingdom. We are here now this morning. We lay before you. We yield to you.
Yes.
We want to hear from you. And most of all, we don't want to leave here the same.
Amen.
Our faith is in that you are the changer. You are the healer. You're the savior. You're the teacher. And for that, we receive all of that from you in advance this morning. And we do that in Jesus' name through your word. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Last time I was here, and if you weren't here, you can get that and do your own review. But I'm going to do an extension of that this morning. The title was That Hope's the Foundation of Faith. This is part two. Don't I do a lot of that, part ones and twos? Well, the one thing that I've found out is there's nothing new under the sun, so we're repeating every day anyway. It's new every morning, but it's the same. If you can figure that out, you're smarter than me. It's new, but the same. Amen?
That's right.
I wake up to the same wife every morning, and yet she's new. And so it gives me revelation of my relationship with my God and my Savior. New every morning, same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
Before we finish today, I want us to see a couple of things. If you'll remember the last time I spoke to you about the Valley of Dry Bones, you remember that? And we pulled some conclusions out of that. This morning I'm going to revisit that valley, and we're going to pull some other conclusions. Amen?
Amen.
I want to remind you what goes on here this morning, what has gone on this morning, and what will continue to go on is not about you and it's not about me. It's about people.
Yes.
Now, I'm a people, so it has something to do with me. But too many times when we begin to write songs, sing songs, preach messages, witness, do our jobs, we begin to turn inward. We begin to stop seeing what the whole picture's about. We think that the reason we get up is to go to work, or we go to school, or we've got to finish this career, we've got to accomplish this task, and it has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with, God, what do you want me to do this morning? What do you want me to do today? What is this about? Could you explain to me why I'm alive? And this doesn't mean that I question my existence or wonder about my existence. It means that I want to know what this day means in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I don't care about jobs, and I don't care about anything but what am I to accomplish today for the kingdom of God, and why? I'm answering you now, the why is people. The why is not me, the why is others.
Right.
Amen? That's number one. Number two, you already know this, I'll remind you as a review. Faith does not give us hope, but hope gives us faith. Three, God's army. Do you understand the kingdom of God is made up of an army of God? God's army is not made up of an elite that have gone to special colleges to teach them how to operate. It is made up of wounded, destroyed people that have been resurrected.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The kingdom, the King Jesus, was destroyed and resurrected. And if we can't follow that path, and this is scriptural, if we can't understand we must follow that path, then we will never be the Savior to this world that Jesus requires us to be. We can't be part of that salvation process. God's army is made up of wounded people that have been and are being restored, redeemed, and saved. Let me say it another way. If you don't realize that you are in the process of being redeemed, you have nothing to offer those that need to be redeemed. You'll lose your humility. You'll lose the feeling and the understanding of grace and mercy. Too many times, church folks like to become elite folks, and they forget that all you have to do is look back just a little bit, and you'll find some crud. Jesus forgets our past. We are to remember it a little bit. Just enough to be able to say, except for the grace of God, there go I.
Right.
Amen? Amen? Number four. God saw us as saved and used others, causing their eyes to see us saved while we were still problems, hopeless, and dry bones. Did that make sense to you? God's grace, I'll say it another way, was that He provided somebody that was able to see us through God's eyes rather than somebody else's eyes. Do I need to give examples? Shall I start pointing? Let me go back one and say this. God's army is made up of real pains in the derriere. But at that particular time when you were the greatest pain, God saw you already saved and redeemed.
Hallelujah.
And He used a person's sight to see you as He saw you and that person to minister to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how we got saved. Drawn by the Spirit, but somebody else was guided by the Spirit. The Spirit using two people to make a big meeting causing salvation and redemption. The point being, that's what this message is about, by the way. God never, ever, 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 ever saw you as a failure.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
To the day a failure dies to go to hell, God will see that person as redeemed.
Amen.
Because He looks through Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
You understand that? He looks at humanity through Jesus. So His hope, His faith, is in you being saved. We still have a free will. Not everybody will be saved. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Now, the majority will not make it, but God never stops seeing them saved. That means there will always be somebody sent to help.
Thank you, Lord.
And if there's a failure anywhere, if God ever uses you in ministry and you never see that person redeemed, then it wasn't you that failed. Because you were following God's eyesight and God's faith. Now, why did I say that? Because some people, no matter how hard you work, they're going to turn their back on God, not you, on God.
That's right.
Don't ever get wounded in the salvation process. Y'all are looking at me funny. Then let me say this another way. No one can ever sin against you, and you can never sin against someone. You can only sin against God. So don't get wounded personally when something doesn't go the way you think it ought to go.
Amen.
Because nothing would please the enemy better than to have two casualties instead of one.
Amen. Right.
So be cautious with your salvation. A quick review. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm going to try to do this quick, but I don't take all the time I can. Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is a substance. You know what a substance is, right? Something you can touch. Or at least you know it's real. It's a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So what we establish And once again, it would sure help you to review this because I'm not going to go into great detail. Get the last CD. But God creates in you hope, which builds faith. That's what this scripture says. You have a hope, and that created a faith, which then causes you to see. Okay? What He wants you to see, and the way He introduces that to you, is He may give you a vision. He may give you the distorted eyesight, meaning you see that person in a different light than normal or everybody else sees. It creates in you a hope of a situation, person, place, or thing. And in that, you go to the Word. The Word is also creates a hope, but it also creates faith in you. Amen. You begin to build that faith. That faith causes you to speak and act and do according to what you already see, but nobody else sees.
Right.
Did that really get complicated, what I just said? I hope not. All right. Quickly. You can write this down or just get the CD. It'll help. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24 through 26, and I'm going to outline this. I'm not going to read it. Hope is seen. Hope is seen. Causes us to eagerly wait with perseverance. Now that sounds like oxymoron terminology. We eagerly wait with perseverance. Eagerly wait with perseverance. All right, let me say it to you again. Eagerly wait. How many of you have eagerly waited? I went to the stock show and rodeo yesterday, and I can't say that I eagerly waited on anything in all those stinking lines and crowd. But we as Christians learn to eagerly wait. And in that, the Spirit helps and guides us. How in the world can you excitedly or eagerly wait without the Spirit's guidance?
That's right.
I'm not a patient man. I'm working on it. I think I'll achieve patience about the time I die. I don't know what's going to happen in between, but I'm going to continue working. God's going to continue working in me. Anyway, don't dwell. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. In that, we see the Word gives us hope for better and greater understanding of things and hope for bigger and greater things. Let me remind you of this. The Word, if you don't study the Word, you're not going to understand what I'm telling you. You cannot open the Word up and be satisfied.
Amen.
When you open the Word, you'll be hungry and thirsty. That's a promise. You'll get more hungry and more thirsty. But in that, you'll be more enlightened.
That's right.
You'll be more like God and less like the world, which makes you peculiar.
Amen.
If you're not peculiar, you're not into the Word. Your sight, your understanding is going to be totally different than the world's. And you won't fit the world's understanding. And you grin and say, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. When people say, you're weird. Yes, thank you. Any other compliments would you like to give me today? I'm eagerly waiting. When you look at, you know what this church is full of? This one. Weird people. Weird people. Really are. You go down the list, and I get so excited when I review some of you and how God sees you and how God has laid you on hearts because of that. And He's even called me to do strange things with you and to you because of a plan He has, not a plan that I have.
Amen. That's right.
So I am one of those weird characters. I don't really give a flip about anything. I don't care about people. I don't care about things. If I had, you know, your little song reviewed that this morning, why can't you let me be more normal? Well, my normal is, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you've got to say. I don't care about your opinion. I don't really care. God, why can't you let me be that way? Well, that's not God. That's why.
Amen.
Don't say you're like God and then praise your flesh. Now, I've got a little flesh comes out every once in a while, just like you guys do. But when I am operating where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, a little bit of flesh will speak and a lot of spirit will take over.
Yes, amen.
And I will see what God wants. And always remember this. Don't come against the flesh that God made you. Say it another way. Don't stand against the way God made you, even if somebody calls it carnal. Because God had His hand on even making your flesh.
That's right.
Do you understand that? Otherwise, we would all have the same job, speak the same way, do the same thing, and it would be very boring. So I give praise to God for my weird flesh along with my weird spirit.
Amen.
He's going to use it if I give it to him, right?
Amen.
He can sanctify flesh as well as the spirit man. That means if all my... Harry, you and I got... You know who we are. And God can still use that. And does every day. Even the flesh parts. Even those old flesh parts we wish we didn't have, God put them there. So let's don't wish too hard. Let's turn them over to Him.
Yes.
Let Him sanctify them.
Amen.
Use them. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, we are to speak our faith, speak our hope, until faith arises. And God will then be faithful to perform.
Amen.
God cannot perform through you unless you speak.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, what am I supposed to speak? Number one, your hope. Then it turns to your faith. And then it comes to where you can see it and touch it. You can stand out in the mountain somewhere and you see this mighty army coming against you. And a person with the right eyesight can come along and say, God, cause him to see the real thing. And then your eyes will be opened because your faith and your hope comes up. And you will see that there's more of us than them.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
1 Peter 3, verse 15. Word gives you the ability to explain the reason you're full of hope and faith that others see in you. Let me say it another way. Others should see in you something they don't see normally. You have a hope. That hope speaks. They see you have a faith. It causes hope or faith in them. They should see it. They should feel it. And you should be willing to explain it. Ready?
Yes.
Now I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel. We're going to review this again. This is a great little bedtime story. It will be to those that just want to come to church. To those that are seeking a higher place, this is a challenge, a correction, a direction. It causes hope. And I want to remind you again, last time I taught you this for you. This time I'm going to teach you this. You're not involved. This is for others. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. Everybody in here saved.
Yes.
Redeemed.
Yes.
Delivered.
Amen.
Because if not, we need to stop and take care of that, or you won't understand this passage of Scripture this morning. And as I talk, as we study, as the Spirit reveals, please, this is a challenge to you for others. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord. So we're going to a place, we're seeing things, we're healing, we're hearing things, we're understanding things that nobody else sees or hears. And set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. How many of you wake up every day thinking you're full of bones? You're in a place full of bones. It may be God's plan. In fact, my statement here, and I made it to you last time, God has a plan. He's now beginning to show you His problem. Always remember, when you begin to see a problem, don't make it your problem. It is God's problem. He's revealing it to you, and therefore He must have a solution on the way.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Don't see valley of dry bones. Evidently, God is showing you something. He wants you to see more than you can see right now. Verse 2, then He caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. So as He was going through this encouraging march of faith, He was surrounded by not only dry bones, very many dry bones, and they were very dry. I don't think the problem is looking better if you're just depending upon your eyesight. Verse 3, and He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? This is called a test of faith. Did you know God Himself will test you? By the way, the promise is nothing more than you can handle. So don't let that be afraid. I get tired of the teaching where it nearly makes you want to be afraid to get into faith. When God has a fight for you, He's already prepared for you to win and has the victory in front of you. All you got to do is move that direction. So the question to this man that was caught up, placed here, shown a very dire situation, and now the second verse or the third, whatever this is, we're in a worse situation. The question comes, what do you think? Think there's any hope? God asked this. Any hope? Are you prepared to answer correctly?
Yeah.
Are you so busy answering what you think people want to hear that you just answer normally, like the song's talking about, normally? Can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And that was a very safe answer. That man didn't even take a step of faith. He answered correctly, but it was not boldly. Well, God, you know. What's happening here is there's two questions happening. One, God is asking the man. The man, number two, is asking God. That was a question, not a statement. God, you know. It was a question. When we have a question, if we're wise, we study.
That's right. Amen.
Verse 4. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I was born and raised in the Nazarene church. The word prophesy was nearly like one of those, it's like going ice fishing on thin ice. It nearly brings up, conjures up weird things. Well, get used to it. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
And he's not going to tell Ezekiel to prophesy and not you.
That's right.
Prophesy means you say what God would say. He's not here and he's not going to show up and say it for you. He's going to ask you to say it. He will tell you what to say, or you've already studied and found out what to say, but you must say it. Prophesy. Speak. So in this verse, I'm given the formula on how to resolve every issue, and that's speak to the issue.
Amen.
Speak to the issue. Don't let the issue speak to you. It will try. It always tries. You found out it was an issue because it began to speak. You didn't even know there was an issue until it began to speak. And so the formula is, speak back.
Yeah.
I will remind you over and over and over until you get it. David sat before Goliath. Goliath spoke. Worm, I'll crush you. I'll pull your head off and spit in the hole. What did David do? He said, there's only one worm here, that's you.
That's right.
And I'm going to pull your head off and spit in that hole. Now you just read it, that's exactly what happened. He used the enemy's or the situation's words and turned it right back on him. You know where the victory was? David meant it more than Goliath.
Yep.
Goliath was being normal. That's the way he talked to everybody. David was being God's messenger. He was speaking or prophesying the word of the Lord. Who do you think is going to win? Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these dry bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. God now gives instructions on what to say and how to say it. And he reminds us that you're not going to accomplish it, I am. Remember, most important thing I can tell you this morning, you will never win a battle yourself. Let me say it another way. The battle is not on your shoulders.
Amen.
The prophecy is on your shoulders. To speak the word of the Lord, the faith is on your shoulders. To stand in the word of the Lord, that's on your shoulders. But the winning of the battle is never on your shoulders. Because we are not capable.
Right.
There's only one strategist here, that's the Father.
That's right.
There's only one victor, that's Jesus our Lord and Savior already. And if you don't depend on that, you're going to botch it. Verse 6, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. At that point, after I get through doing that, God says, you'll know that I am the Lord. Well, what do you already know? What do you already know? He knew a voice. He knew dry bones. He knew this voice was giving remedy. But just like most of us, how many of you have ever had a miracle in your life? You knew at that moment that God was in charge. And you forgot. We all forget. It's part of being human. God knows what human is. You have an adversary with the Father constantly ministering on your behalf. And so what God doesn't understand, Jesus is explaining. You got your own attorney sitting at the right hand of the Father. Not to make excuses for you, but to tell you why you blow it so badly. And because Jesus is grace and mercy and forgiveness, God looks upon that with great grace and mercy also. It touches his heart. Our actions, our words can't touch God's heart, but Jesus Christ does. That may sound weird to you. Some of the things that I say may sound weird to you, but study the word. You'll understand what I'm telling you is correct.
Amen.
The proof of the burden is on him. By the way, you know what faith causes in you? Boldness. Hope doesn't cause boldness. Faith does. Hope is the beginning of faith.
Yes.
Faith is the beginning of boldness.
Amen.
How will I know when you're truly walking in faith? You're bold about it. David didn't say, I hope I'm going to tear your head off. He said, I'm going to tear your head off.
That's right. That's right.
And here's how serious I am about it. I only brought these little pebbles because that's what God said for me to do. And so I'm going to prophesy here, holding something that people thought was very foolish. And he said, I'm going to throw this at you and I'm going to kill you. Why? Because he was a good shot. No. Because God had already spoke to him, just like we're seeing here, on how this was going to happen. Well, there wasn't that much time. Ooh, God can speak fast.
Yes.
Unbelievably fast.
Yes.
In a twinkling of an eye, he can transform you from here to there and make you understand the whole time. Take you from the deepest, darkest sin into the brightest white light of God that you can ever imagine, and you'll have totally understanding without even hearing a word that anybody else heard. So let's don't question how fast God can do things. Just question yourself on how long you can wait. You understand that David's standing out there in the presence of the shadow of Goliath? This man standing out in the valley of the shadow of dry bones, time was not going fast. It was going really slow, really slow. And yet God said, just the right time. Be patient. Just hold on. Verse 7. So I prophesied, listen to this, as I was commanded. The minute we learn that we don't have a vote, we can begin to do the work of God. I follow commands. This is a theocracy, not a democracy. I never have a vote in a theocracy. That's a very safe thing I'm telling you, by the way. That's not a scary thing. It's a very safe thing. I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. You think his faith's building about this time? Well, I'm going to tell you how it is. It's building in the midst of fear.
That's right.
Because you don't start seeing bones make noise and come together and say, just as I expected. It's all right, people of God, when you're standing in faith, that when faith begins to cause the mountain to move, you go, whoa. Because God's always going to do it in a more fantastic way than you can ever imagine. Far
That's
beyond
right.
anything you could ever think or ask.
That's right.
And it's all right to say, whoa, God, I expected you to do something, but I didn't know you were going to do it that way. All right. Verse 8, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. I told you last time, God stages his completions. It is completed before the foundations of the earth. But you get a chance to see it in slow motion. Gives you more to testify about. We began to see it. Don't lose hope. Because you wanted it done, God will perform in his time and his way. Verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Who is breathing life into these dry people right now?
God. Yeah.
True. God's not standing there. God's not speaking. Who is? That vehicle that God has chosen. God breathed into us the breath of life.
That's right.
That is not just for me.
Amen.
I have the breath of life that God gave me that I can now breathe into others.
That's right. Amen.
That's what this is about. That's the light I want you to see that in today. This is no longer bringing your situations into a good situation for you. This is now about those that are they're there, but they have no breath of life. And you do.
Amen.
You are led into many situations, many circumstances where you are the only life in the whole area. And that life that has no breath is now waiting for your breath to give them life.
Amen. That's right.
You've got to see that in yourself. God wants you to see it. This is not a pump ceremony. I'm not a pump artist. I don't care about pumping you. I want to give you the truth because the Bible says the truth sets them free.
Yes. Amen.
That's what this is about, setting them free. How would you like to be a bone with skin covered, everything like, and no life, no breath? That's the world. That's the world. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Prophesy, verse 9. Prophesy to them. Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord of God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. That's the message I want to give you this morning. You need to start breathing on those that are dead.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Breathe on them. You don't have to be, I don't want to say that, but you don't have to be a preacher.
Amen.
In fact, the world really doesn't want any more preachers. They want somebody just to share the truth with them.
Yes. Amen.
Don't be so polished and don't be able to bring a tear to my eye over just the way I use my voice. Don't worry about if you don't have the best grasp on the English language that ever came. Who cares? Truth sets him free.
Amen.
Truth sets him free.
That's right.
The description of Jesus Christ was nobody would want him.
That's right.
He wasn't pretty. He didn't have a good singing voice or a speaking manner. Look at your scripture. It tells you that. Comely. He was homely as all get out. But when he opened his mouth, breath of life came out and drew people. That's what the scripture says. And God is no respecter of Jesus the person, or me the person, or you. In other words, I partake in the same. If that spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it gives life to your mortal body. Well, Jesus didn't just take the life and leave. He gave it to you.
Amen.
Now he wants you to share it.
Yes.
Right in the midst of all of these valleys of dry bones, where you see people there walking dead. They open their mouth, and some of the most ridiculously foolish things come out. Same things you used to say.
Yes.
Now you're better.
Amen. Thank you.
You don't spread that germ that they have. You spread your germ. You've got a good one.
Yes.
We always think germs are negative. Baloney. You're just nothing but one big germ. That's who you are. That's who we are. We are sanctified germs. We are infectious, Harry. They are infectious. We're infectious. We need to determine who is the most powerful infection. My Bible promises that they cannot inoculate themselves against me. Because I carry life. They can reject it. Verse 10. So I, again, prophesied as I was commanded, or as he commanded me. And breath came into them. And they lived. And stood upon their feet. And when they stood up, they were an exceedingly great army. This man accomplished something that he didn't know he was going to accomplish. He thought he was just there to cause a few people to stop rattling and start walking. And when he looked, now look, all of this happened. You understand all of this happened in a twinkling of an eye?
Yes.
This teaching, his obedience, the teaching, the obedience, the teaching, the obedience. Did it take time? Yes. But the revelation came quick. But here's one revelation that he didn't get. The total end result. The total end result he saw after he obeyed and obeyed and obeyed. After he made a big fool of himself, a big fool of himself, a big fool of himself. Talking and speaking over dry bones. What he got, the great reward, an exceedingly great reward,
yes.
Was an exceedingly
yes.
great army.
Yes.
Now God had one thing in mind when he spoke to this man. An exceedingly great army.
Amen.
So I know Ezekiel didn't have the full revelation, no more than you and I do. We just have to obey what revelation we have. And then we will begin to see how this is going to work out.
Amen.
You are one piece of an exceedingly great army. Just one little piece. But you are the recruiting officer, the recruiting agent for many. Not one amen.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Forget words like evangelism. Forget them. We're beyond that now.
Amen.
God has his dispensations. God's still in the evangelism work. You aren't.
Amen.
You've moved beyond that. You're going into the prophecy
yes.
work. You're going into the prophesied of dry bones work. That means, who knows? Who said these weren't a valley of dry Christians? Who said that? We don't know what this valley was. We didn't say there were a whole bunch of sinners. We don't know what it was. It was God's plan. That's all we need to know.
Amen.
It was God's valley of dry bones. And he wasn't appreciated at all. He didn't enjoy the valley of dry bones, so he wanted it changed. Why? Because he needs an army.
Amen.
Not because you do. Because he does. If you're already saved, you're part of an exceedingly great army. You understand me?
Yeah.
That's not enough. A soldier's not trained and put in uniform so he can be a soldier trained in a uniform.
That's right.
He's put in that position so he can go out and fight. Now, why were you saved? Why were you given life? Oh, so I can be full of life. Well, you're already full of something, but it's not life. He was sent out here to prophesy and give life to those that don't have it. That's who you are. That's who you are. Don't get spiritual on me. Be spiritual. Don't get spiritual. Don't think you have to learn the Roman road to cause this to happen. God can save you without quoting one verse of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Without hearing one Roman road Scripture spoken. He can handle that. Is he against the Roman road? Don't know. Ask him. I'm not in charge of that. To me, part of the Roman road with Bob was a cigar that I had to buy him. Twice. Never put a smoke to my mouth in my whole life. And I'm buying him Cuban cigars. Why? Because God said so. Oh, God wouldn't tell you to do that. Fooey on you. He's saved. You need to move on.
That's right.
Don't question how God does things, because he's smarter than you.
Yes, amen.
They weren't even cheap cigars. I think he thought maybe I'd put something in them. He wasn't too sure about me walking up with cigars. I'm using one example here. My job is to not see you the way the world sees you, but to see you the way God sees you. What's
yes.
your job?
Same.
What's your job? The person that you work with, the person that you fight with, are you questioning on how you see things, maybe opening up your vision to be changed? I know the purpose. I'm revealing to you the purpose. Number one, the first time I taught you this, it was to get your problem solved. Now I'm telling you part two is to get other people's problems solved.
Yeah.
And if you don't move to step two, you're worthless in step one. You're going to go backwards. You're going to, I'll use a good Nazarene terminology, you're going to backslide. Our Baptist terminology. You're going to backslide. I don't know if Baptists use that or not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. Use whatever term works. Just use some understanding in the thing. By the way, I'm an independent. I bet you didn't know that, did you? Let's see what else. God's Word always gives correction, which is a direction.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
If we could ever learn that correction is not a negative term, it's a positive term. Mm-hmm. Referring to the teaching here, there are three things that I want you to remember that have to happen. Here's the scary one. You have to see a problem. You cannot help anything unless you first see a problem. Now, I know all of you showed up this morning wanting to see a problem. Make me normal. I don't want to see a problem. No. We ought to be thinking, woo, where's my next problem? Where is it?
Amen.
That means that I have to see with God's eyes.
Yes.
Or the problem will eat me alive. I cannot be ready to see a problem if I can't see it through God's eyes. Second part, I must hear and believe God about that problem. Well, if I haven't studied Word, then I won't understand how to believe God about that problem. Number one, no weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Mark 11 says I can see a mountain and I can say to the mountain. The only way I can say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, is to be able to see from God's eyes that that's a mountain, but it's not permanent.
Yes.
Amen. Most of us look at a mountain and see it as permanent. God's eyes will tell you, look at a mountain, it's not permanent. Then I can hear God, because Ezekiel said, what do I do, God? God said, say this. Say this. Don't just say. He said, say this.
Amen.
We follow that. I must believe that what I say is backed up by God.
Yes.
How many of you really believe that? Let's just. Do you really believe that you can say things and God backs it up?
Yep. Yes.
Well, I guarantee it. If you've been listening to God, you've been reading His Word, He will back up what you say, because you're going to be cautious about what you say.
Yes.
Not afraid, cautious. There's a difference.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells you you're going to be judged by every word that comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that ought to make you cautious.
Yes.
Why is that? That I want to. Well, because I'm carrying life and death in the tongue. So I have the ability to speak death. I need to be cautious. The third thing is I must see the problem solved. I see a problem, I've got to see it solved. I don't have to see it all at the beginning, but I've got to see it all the way through. Today I want you to understand, if you have the mind of Christ, the eyes of God, you can't see anything as bad. We'll not give you permission in this word this morning to see anything as bad. You need to see it as an opportunity.
Amen. Amen.
Now that sounds like psychological mumbo jumbo. Well, then you just think of it that way, and I'll think of it the way God thinks. We'll see who gets there the best. I challenge you.
Amen.
Last time I was here, I spoke to you about tithe, where the Scripture says, try me. And I would like to, don't want you to answer me, but I'd be bold to ask you this question. How many of you have been wise enough to try him? About the same situation. Well, I see this problem. No, you see an opportunity. Try him.
Amen.
Yeah, but this looks like, I know what it looks like, What do you look like? Do you like look like somebody that tries things? My kids, when they grew up, I would say, here's some asparagus, try them. If they answered, I don't like it, they got a double portion. If they tried it and didn't like it, it's okay.
Amen.
It's okay. You don't have to like every food that's out there, but you got to try every one. I mean, that looks decent. I've seen some that don't look decent. I saw some yesterday at that stock show. With God's sight, let me remind you what God saw. God looked at the earth. God looked at you. God looked at me. And he saw without form and void. And he didn't see bad. That's a tilt for your mind right there, by the way. To see something without form and void and not see it as bad. You know why he didn't see it as bad? Because he knew the solution was on the tip of his tongue. And so he spoke the solution and it became good. And he said, whoa, that's good. Can you picture God doing that? I mean, come on, let's stretch our imaginations just a little bit. Maybe even get a little wild and say that God was surprised at what happened to his own word. Whoa, that was good. Isn't that what Ezekiel said? Whoa, an exceedingly great army. Whoa, I spoke breath and they breathe.
Amen.
We can get a little excited about that.
Yes.
When you see everything is good, your life is full of joy. I didn't say there weren't some tedious, you like that word tedious, some strenuous times in that time. But if you can see past this moment, you might be able to see, whoa, that's good. People are God's goal. People are God's goal.
Amen.
Not you. Let me say it another way. God has already got me. That's the deal I made, and I don't renege on a deal. God's already got me. Now what? If you can get that weird theology that I keep trying to teach you, whether it's a Goliath, dry bones, whatever terminology's been thrown at you, cancer, diabetes, it doesn't make any difference. They're all nonsense. They don't fit in God's picture. If you can look at that and say, it'll take more than that to scare me, then you've got 90% of the battle done. Because you can then say, so what? Now you've completed the task of casting all your cares upon him. Now he can care for you. Because that don't scare me. That don't scare me. May take my breath for a minute. I'll get my breath back. But I'm not going to be afraid.
Man.
Jesus is not going to look at me and say, oh, you little faith. I hope he does once in a while just to correct. But I'm saying I'll not be found guilty of not trusting God. You are a room full of misfits. Thought I'd encourage you this morning. You don't fit. I mean, shall I just go down the list? I start back on that side and go to this side. And everyone I can describe to you about being a misfit, I can start here if you'd like. God was not discouraged in that.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So as I walk into the valley of misfits, the dry bones, why should I? Why should I be discouraged? It's not my problem. Get up, dry bone. God said so, that's why. You ever have problems talk back to you? Every day? Multiple times every day? See, this is one of the cases for sure that the one that has the last word wins. Always remember, the last word wins. Always remember, the last word wins. This is a son-in-law that's new to me and I'm new to him, and he thinks I'm weird sometimes. He's smart if he continues to think that way. But you know, sometimes my faith can cause people to just kind of take a stutter step. I won't call stumble. But I opened up a pretty good sized check that I got from oil and gas the other day. And he happened to be in the area. And I looked at that. And it wasn't as big as I want it to be. Do you understand that? The vision God has given me is bigger than what I had in my hand. And so I said, chicken feed. Wasn't chicken feed to him. So he went and said, what's wrong with him? Is he crazy? Right? Isn't that what you said? Sort of.
Yeah. In a roundabout way.
Mm-hmm. He didn't understand where I was coming from. So when I look at Bob after I gave him the first cigar, and he goes, I didn't know what he did. He said, thank you, but you know what I'm saying. It did not get the results that I wanted yet. Then I can say chicken feed. I can say big deal. I can say nothing yet. I mean, it's nothing to what's to come. And that's what we really need to be saying. This is nothing compared to what's to come. I can be in that frame, that mind, all of my life. I can say, Gene, some of the songs you're putting out are great, but nothing to what's come.
Amen.
And you can have your faith built on that, not discouraged by... When I left here, I took this message, and I was asked to minister at a church in South Texas. My wife said, that was good. I said, that was the message. She said, Well, I thought it was. If I know God, I can take this message right here and I can preach it 20 more times, and every time it will get better.
Yes.
Because that's the way God is.
Amen. Yes. That's right. Hallelujah.
Now, what are you trying? And are you actually believing? Do you actually have the audacity to believe that you might get better the second time than you were the first? Can you imagine what Ezekiel did after this? Where's my next valley? Why? Because he's getting, in his own mind, he's getting good at it. Well, I guarantee you it won't be exactly the same valley, but there'll be another one. There'll be another challenge, and we'll get it done. God's goal is people, to raise up armies. We're sitting here, and the reason I'm using the word misfits is because nearly every one of you relate to that word. And I'm telling you that God doesn't see you as misfits, and he never did.
Amen. That's right.
He saw you as a potential. He saw you as a great potential. There's nothing, if you want to challenge reality, that's normalcy that we were singing about this morning, look at a baby. What a mess. Oh, they're cute. Oh, please. They're cute until you have to change a diaper. Then you wish they were somebody else's cute. They are a bundle of doo-doo with a tremendous potential.
Yes, amen.
They're a bag full of diaper full of dry bones waiting for somebody to speak some life into them. Mm-hmm. Teach them direction. Minister to them. That's what they are. Who was the young man in here that came this morning and left before church ever started?
Mike.
You know him?
Nope. Never seen.
Potential. Mm-hmm. He's a potential loser or a potential winner. You have no way to minister loss. So you cannot be the father of, the tutor of, the helper of loser.
That's right.
Why don't you say that about yourself?
Amen.
You need to understand, if God is your guide, if God is your mind, if God is your word, you can't help somebody into loss.
That's right.
You can only guide them in to the mighty army. Whether you're standing up to sing, whether you're writing songs, whether you're writing words to the songs. It doesn't make any difference. You can't be a failure if God's behind it.
Amen. That's right.
How do you see people? Dead dry bones or potential? Or an army waiting to be assembled? When you look at somebody, do you say, here comes trouble? There's no hope? I've been at this for 23 years and blah, blah, blah. Or I used to be that way. When are you going to determine your success? I guess that's the way I need to ask. When are you going to determine that you're a success? Gene, where's the benchmark that you're a success? When you decide you're a success. Art, when are you a success? Bill, when are you going to be a success? You got a benchmark you've scheduled or you can see in your life? Or are you just going to take the mind of God in this situation and say, I are one?
Amen.
From before the foundations of the earth, I'm a success.
Amen.
God does not father failures. If I've ever done one good thing in my life, I've already successful. One good thing. My successes will become greater. How about yours?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Why? Because God is using me to get to others.
Yes.
And therefore, I'm being fine-tuned. I'm being sharpened. I'm being used. I feel better about me. The more God uses me to do those kind of things, the less the enemy has as an input in my life. His voice becomes weaker. His power becomes weaker. Will the battles and trials ever be there? You've got an hour. I can tell you about a few. But every time in those, I have to step up to the plate and I have to decide where this is a valley that can't be conquered. Is this a future preacher? Is that what this means? He's honorary enough. I'll ask you again.
Daddy.
Is God using you?
Yes.
Would God use a failure, Gene? So you're a success. That's, you have the gall to tell me that? You are a success. How many times have I told you that in times past? And how many times did it before you heard it? Maybe you heard it some more this morning. Good. I don't care. Maybe you don't need me no more. I know this is... Let me say it another way then. You know my way. I keep saying it in different ways so we'll understand. I know that I'm a success when I can see me through God's eyes.
Yes.
Therefore, I know you're a success when I see you through God's eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think I might have $100?
Yeah.
If I promised to give you that $100, when would you get excited? When you touched it or when I told you I could give it to you?
No, right now. You can give it to me.
See? Now listen.
I'll come get it.
See, she even got her hands out. Volunteered to come get it. What? If you see me reach in my pocket. See, here's the thing. I didn't tell you you could have it. I just said I had it. I got it. Go give it to her. She's that anxious. Go give it to her. Here. No? You need... All right. Here. I wouldn't know. I didn't plan to do that, but your faith has set you free.
Hallelujah.
This is my seed. Everything that I get above and beyond what I normally get this month goes into my seed towards my prosperity for myself and other people.
That's your decision?
That's it. Amen. So be it.
Praise the Lord.
Goes right in the envelope.
I have enough for everybody in here. I didn't say to give it to you. I have more than enough.
That's right.
I have more than enough. I lack for nothing. How many ways do I need to say to you the way you need to be saying of God or through God? My point to that whole thing was you need to get excited about the promise of God even as it's a real thing. That's what called faith and hope. Hope and faith is. You begin to see things before you touch things. And because you believe those things that you hope for, you now can touch them. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works.
Yes.
That's not original with me. That's God. So when he says to you, you're healed, you start getting excited about that. You start making plans about what you're going to do as soon as the evidence of non-healing goes away. How fast? Come on, man. That's between you and God and your faith. I have no idea how long. You have to see the thing the way God sees it. God wants a mighty army. Now that you're part of it, start making another one.
Amen.
You know Mark 11. You do know Mark 11, right? And don't ever forget that. I don't care if you have to write on every wall. Because it puts on your heart. I'll read it then. Nothing wrong with that. Mark 11, 21, 22, 23, 24. And if you need to read 25, read that one too. We don't restrict you. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Let's break some parameters here right quick. Jesus and his gang, they're walking through. They're walking on property that Jesus don't own. Jesus wasn't a farmer. He's about the Father's business. That's what he did. He's teaching those that are walking with him. Jesus, we've got hungry. Please, let this set you free. Because God wants things for you much more than you. You just need to see it in his eyes. Then you'll understand. But Jesus walked by and that fig tree, he knew it was supposed to make figs. So he got mad at the fig tree because there wasn't figs on it. And the scripture says it was out of season for figs. It wasn't even time for that fig tree to make figs. And Jesus said, because you didn't make figs, because I wanted it and you didn't produce it, I curse you. It wasn't even his tree. Come on, I need to set you free just a little bit. This world belongs to those that belong to God. Yes. It doesn't belong to those that think they have ownership to things.
Yes.
And you know me. I'm a good, hardy Texan. I believe that ownership is very important, and fence means no cross. Hardcore that way. But I'm telling you, Jesus, I need to think like he does. They went on about their business and came back the next day, and the fig trees withered away. That's awfully miraculously fast.
Yes.
And so Peter said, what in the world? See, whoa can come across a lot of different ways. In this case, it was a response to a withered plant. Whoa. 22. Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. So the fig tree withered because of Jesus' faith in God. Right?
That's right.
Okay. 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, in other words, always stays in hope, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. The biggest fallacy of Christianity is that we're not to believe what we say. Remember what I said? I think I said it to you. No, I believe I said it to the other church recently. And that is this. If you do not believe you, everybody's a liar. If you don't believe you, you will not believe God. If you're loose with your speech, you will never believe what God says. He'll have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Are people promises?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are they ever mountains?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You think they are?
Yes.
Maybe there are mountains blocking people. Maybe that thing that you see in a person that causes them to be a mountain is actually a mountain. There's a person behind it. Maybe there's something in that person that's a mountain that's killed them. And they need you to speak to the mountain, not the person. You hear me?
Yeah.
Be very cautious with people. They're treasures to God. But the stuff that holds them back is not. Jesus said to his best friend, get behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get behind me, man. He said, get behind me, Satan.
That's right.
The man was offended. Didn't make any difference. The mountain was removed. You understand what I'm telling you? Be careful with people, but never be careful with the enemy. People are promises. When you start seeing that, sight and revelation begins to form in you. People are promises. When you understand that, sight and revelation comes to you. Glimpses of the impossible turn to hope for change. Hope fosters faith as we study and listen. Hope and faith causes obedience in you. And that causes our situations to change and others, people's situations to change.
Amen.
We begin to speak and act. It's like we know God. My grandmother had a saying. I didn't like it, but it was funny. You'd walk in one day and you'd say, I think it's going to rain today. She said, what, have you been up? You been up? Yeah. Yeah, come to think of it, I have. If I'm speaking with the mind of Christ, I've been up.
Amen.
And therefore, I have some security or surety in what I say. I begin to say to your situations, things are going to get better, Harry. And you go, you really believe that? Yes, I do. I said it, didn't I? I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. And you begin to believe. You carry life. You carry death. Give life. Choose life and then give life. Last one. God always performs His word.
That's right.
If your word is His word, your words will always be performed. So be cautious with your words. Oh, I had a friend one time said, oh man, I feel pretty good, but I feel a good one coming on. Yuck. Where's the hand sanitizer? I don't want anything to do with that one. What do you feel coming on? Are you afraid of tomorrow? Because then you have nothing but fear to minister.
Amen. Praise God.
If you're encouraged about tomorrow because you've been in the Word, because you hear from God, you speak to Him on a normal basis, He never puts you down, He always builds you up, then guess what? Got some good words to give some people.
Amen.
God never fails. God never lies. Failure can come through no hope. It's the only way it can come. And no hope is from giving up. That is disobeying God. Two different viewpoints of Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones. One deals with your problems and how to handle them. You need to get past that because we've already covered that. Jesus said, let's don't go through those principles again. Let's move on. Second, you got people out there that you know that are Valley of Dry Bones. They are the dry bones. Now it's time for you to minister for them. To them, for them. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Two types of ministry. One is to them, and one is for them. If you can combine them, you got it made. If it's to them, for them, your heart's clear. There's too many ministers out there that know how to minister to them, for me. Never get tied up with that. It'll kill you.
That's right.
Let God decide your rewards in heaven. Don't you think you got them figured out. That's another way to say that. All right. See, that didn't take too long. Our heart's clear?
Amen.
Amen. Can I say something?
Sure. You need a mic?
Yeah.
Stand close to me.
Oh, you got it. Okay. Stan, I want to thank you for preaching on this subject. When I was Mackenzie's age, I read that story in the Bible about Ezekiel and the dry bones, and I heard my dad preach it, and a lot of preachers. All my life I've heard that story, but it always kind of seemed irrelevant to me, you know. Mm-hmm. Why did God put that crazy story in the Bible? And it didn't make sense. I didn't know it in my heart. But when I came to Denver, I met John and Claudia and Ruth, and these three people made a big, big difference in my life. I was a pile of dry bones. I was a pile of dry bones when I met them. They didn't preach to me and they didn't quote scripture. They just took me in. They took me in and they showed me the love of God and the love of Jesus.
Praise God.
And thanks for preaching that. Now I know what that story means, truly.
Amen.
You're welcome. I saw some enemy over here. If y'all see him, y'all kill him. There's a spider over here. I'm not being spooky. There's just a spider over there. I know he's there somewhere. Well, I can preach about anything. You don't want to get me started again, but there's nothing wrong with me pointing out enemies so that you can kill them. Mm-hmm. There he is. Right there. See him? If you didn't, you will never see him again. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You stay close to me.
How many of you have had little postcards come in the mail, or you've had a phone call come and say, you know, come, and we'd like to give you this free gift. Mm-hmm. And there's not really a free gift. There's right. something behind that. Well, this morning, you guys got a gift. And after that presentation, you know, they always want you to make a decision. And I really believe that we're not done yet this morning. This morning, I think that you need to make a decision. You either need to go ahead and sign on the dotted line and make a contract with God, make a covenant, or if you don't, you're going to take your free gift and you're going to go on, and you're not going to, this is just going to be a good little story. But it's more than that.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Yes.
It's not just a matter of, you know, I put a mint in my mouth before I came up here, so.
Don't get fresh.
I can breathe breath at him, and it's good. Mm-hmm. I think that there's situations where you have breathed the wrong breath, mm-hmm. and you're not pleased with the outcome.
Right.
It's like, you know what? Those bones are still as dry as they ever were. Some of you have got either it's finances, or, you know, one that keeps coming up in my spirit is Stephen and Renee. Those dry bones. You know, the last time we were here, Celine was singing, you know, up front. Those are dry bone situations that need the breath of God.
Yes.
And, you know, if it's finances, if it's marriage, if it's relationships, if it's school, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever the dry bone situation is, you're going to have to make a decision. It's time to sign on the dotted line. Don't just leave with your free gift and go on. If you don't make a contract to do it, if you say, well, I'll think about it or I'll try, forget it. Forget it. And I really believe I don't care what the situation is, stand up. If you don't mind, please stand up, please.
Dry bones. It isn't finished until you say it's finished.
That's right.
If I can tell you that you can make things happen with your words, then I can tell you you can make things happen with your word. Don't call those things dead ever. You don't have the pronouncement. You don't have the end in your sight, even with Desiree. You don't know how many times that my wife and I have said, it's not over.
That's right.
It's not over.
That's right.
See, if I say it's not over, then it is not over.
That's right.
Too many times we speak it is finished or it is over, and it's not the word of God.
That's right.
We give up on loved ones. We give up on situations. We give up on problems in our lives. We say, nothing I can do about it. Hey, 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 hey. It doesn't make any difference what the world says it's over. bad business deals, whatever, don't you ever say it's finished. Because God's the one that holds the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills.
Amen.
He decides when it's finished. It's not you. She's talking about signing on the dotted line. Maybe there's some of you that need to take their signature off the dotted line. You've put your signature on a "it is finished" line, and you need to erase it. Bring it back. Loved ones, friends, situations, finances, I don't care what it is. Take your name off of that "it is finished" line.
Yes.
Give that back to God.
Yes.
And you say, "It is not finished. It's not done yet. It's not over." And never give up. I don't care if you go to your grave and you have not seen it, you have not seen the resurrection. God heard you say, "It is not finished."
Amen.
And He can finish what you leave undone. This is not on your shoulders. It's God. You put it on His shoulders when you say, "It's not finished." God's the one that said, "I give you this day a choice, life or death, blessings or curses." And I highly recommend you choose life. So keep life in situations. Keep it there with your words. Even if something in you feels dead, God didn't put it there if it feels dead.
That's right.
Did you say something else? You don't need me to help you pray through with these things. You need me to encourage you, but you have to make the decision.
Yes.
And I can promise you that I spoke truth.
Yes.
Every one of us have a situation. We did the sign of the cross over it, which means it's finished. And let's just erase that. A hope, a dream that you know God gave you. And it's too late. That's not too late.
That's right.
It's not too late. If God can look at a valley of dry bones, and I mean extremely dry and very many, and with one man, with a word, can bring him back to life, what can He do through you? What can He do in you? Take a moment. Talk it over with Him. Make some final decisions about things like this. What she said, sign on a new dotted line. It is not finished. Somebody doesn't want to have anything to do with you ever again. It's not finished. It's not over.
That's right. Amen.
A financial situation that seemed like it was stolen from you or will never appear again. It's not finished.
Yes.
God hasn't gotten His pound of flesh yet. Is that a good way to say it? You're not to get your pound of flesh, but He is the evener of all things.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you.
In the last few weeks, I've been given a lot of opportunity to accept things that are not from God. And God is encouraging me to start that warfare again. Last night, I went to sleep stating my faith. Middle of the night, I woke up and I stated it some more. This morning, I woke up with it coming off of my lips, and it's not going to change.
Amen.
There's nobody going to give to me something that I don't want.
Amen.
I have a promise of God that supersedes and overrides all of that. My contract was with Him. It was signed in Jesus' blood and my conviction. And now I sign with His blood in His name. That's what I signed the other half of that contract. And I can use His blood. And let's do it afresh and again this morning. Fresh, new, that my salvation is brand new. My hunger and thirst is brand new. My first love is again brand new. And all those things that were dried and dead, I see things. I see skin coming back. I see blood coming back. I see breath coming back. I see things being renewed. And in Jesus' name, I erased my "it is finished" signature, and I will never use it again. I decree life, and that more abundantly.
Yes, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will say once again, now are all hearts clear? Does anybody need help with believing or praying? Anybody need more time in making decisions? Or is the decision made? Hallelujah. Let's reach back there and get that covenant that Jesus made with us and we made with Him. And let's just bring it right back into our eyesight again.
Yes.
Fresh and new. Let's start looking at things the way God looks at them.
Yes.
Let's be encouraged about what He has seen and not yet shown us. Let's trust Him enough to know that it is good. Look forward to the next day.
Yes.
And let's do it all for people. See, if I give up on a situation, then that situation may be hopeless. And that's against people. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, silence is consent. Continue to pray for us.
Yeah.
We're going to leave here tomorrow and we're going to go to Nashville. Jason will be coming back from Afghanistan shortly. We'll meet him there. Spend a little time with some more grandkids. Then we'll go home and we'll face other situations that we're not familiar with. I remember sharing with you, we moved to South Texas not knowing why. Were you all trust that or believe that? It's the truth. Later on, I shared with you that a couple of names, one of them was my cousin, that I was there to help him, sent there for that reason. I don't know how many of you know this, but I'll update you. In the process of the business dealings we were doing, he had a light heart attack. He did not know it. He found out when he got pneumonia because his heart was in trouble. We have a good doctor friend that's lots of money and he's got his own plane and his own pilots. And he said, "Jerry, let me load you up. I'm having a bypass. Physician here yourself, you know. But anyway, I'm having a bypass up at the Mayo Clinic. I'll fly up there with me and you can get this taken care of." So Jerry went up there and they did 7 bypasses. And how many of you know that Setliff means stubborn and honoring? I didn't invent it. I just inherited it. And 2 days after surgery, he decided it was time to come back home. Now, this is 7 bypasses. Now, you can't do that even from a frontal position. You've got to open wide up and turn the heart over backwards. You've got to come in from the backside to do that many bypasses. You can imagine what kind of problems that is. He came home in 2 days. On about the 4th day, he called me up and said, "I'm ready to eat up in Mathis." By that evening, he was back in the hospital. And staph infection. Got it from the hospital, more than likely. That's where most staph infection comes from. Christmas Eve, the kids were all down there. We had to load up and go to the hospital because there had to be... do you know that the reason you call for the elders when you're sick is because there's sometimes when you can't make the decisions anymore. You're just too weak. Your mind is clouded. Especially if you've gone into the hospital, they can cloud your mind for you. Now, I'm talking about drugs and stuff. You know what I'm saying. You can't fight good fights of faith, and you need some help, some agreement. And I was there with the kids and the family, and they wanted to take him back up to the Mayo Clinic, and he didn't think he could make the trip. He thought he was dying. How he felt? He said, "Y'all make the decision." Well, they got in the back room. They discussed it, and they discussed it. Round table discussion. And I said, why are we, got to me, and I said, why are we discussing this? This man, I've heard tell you and me both, don't ever let anything happen in Corpus Christi. Take me anywhere, but don't let me be in a hospital in Corpus Christi. So what is the decision? You know what he wants. It's like you slapped his wife in the face. The wife said, all right. And she just turned around and left and made the decision. Boom. They'd already had the surgery room set up for 8 o'clock in the evening. And the doctor's saying, we don't want to do this. Take him back. Well, she made the decision. The Mayo Clinic sent a fully staffed and equipped medevac jet down, picked him up, flew him back. He was back in Minnesota, I think it's Rochester, Minnesota is the actual name of the town. And they were treating him shortly thereafter. They started treating him on the airplane. Now, staph infection was in his sternum. They removed the sternum and threw it away. And as of about Thursday, they finally, after 2 weeks of being open-chested and treating the infection, they went inside of there and they took this pec and pulled them together and started sewing them together and started closing him up and left 5 tubes out. So he drained. One's gone, probably 2 by now. If we didn't go to South Texas, but for any reason to speak the word that we spoke that caused the decision, you understand? I believe he would have died in Corpus. I believe he would have. I believe that was his decision. Businesses had to be covered. I can't explain to you the amount of business that has to be covered. A lot of prayer and a lot of belief. Y'all can hold us up. There's 32 companies run out of one office there. And he's a pretty much hub on all of them. God, what we're really praying is that God uses this to set him straight. That's what this is all about. It's people, right? Forget the companies. Doesn't make any difference what the value is. The bottom line is that he needs to understand that it's less about him and more about others.
Yes, right.
That's what God's really in favor of. He needs to understand that. We've been ministering to church. We've ministered more since we were here last than we've the whole year before. So much so that the preacher came back from his whatever this trip was, and he said, I've been listening to the CDs. He said, Stan, you're doing good. He said, you're doing good enough. I don't think I need to be here. And I said, oh, yes, you do. That's a scary thing to me to have somebody say that. Yeah, you need to be here. We don't know what God's doing. We don't even have a word from God about what he's doing. But we don't need one. I'm ready to show up to any valley right now and say anything he wants. And he didn't even need to tell me in advance what it is.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
That's it. You just keep doing what you're doing and know that God's doing what he's doing.
Amen.
Remember the study on Joseph? Mm-hmm. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. It doesn't make any difference what it looks like. God's in control.
Yes.
Amen. We need to stay with those words on our lips all the time.
Yes.
That way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, will mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else I need to say? As you hold Jerry up in prayer, make sure the prayer is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay? Because everybody needs to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody needs that. They need that relationship with God. Because there you will meet your healer, your Savior, and you'll leave that place bolder than when you walked in.
Yes.
Everybody needs it.
Amen.
That's what he needs. I want him to come out more tender, more... It's kind of strange, but more tender, more bold for the things of God. Therefore, God's got control of this empire. Amen?
Yes.
Don't know that he's got control of it right now. He needs control. I want him to have control.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for this time together.
Yes. Thank you.
I thank you for family. I thank you that this always feels like home, except for the cold weather. You can have that back if you want. I don't need that. We love you with all of our hearts.
Yes.
Trust you. Sanctify your people. Sanctify these words. Sanctify them for this mighty army that you're building. For thy kingdom come and thy will be done. We say these things in Jesus' name, and I end with this. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. I want the Lord to be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you peace. Give you peace. No matter what the storm, no matter what the fire, no matter what the test, I pray that you have peace that passes all understanding. Therefore, you can accomplish great things that pass all of your understanding. I pray this and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all be dismissed.